Position two, we tend to like to really settle for good, and better is a better word, and it has a better meaning for us. And so I'm excited about us having this chance to really get into this series and begin to learn how to make better choices, because let me just tell you that I spend the majority of my time helping people when they didn't make good choices. I spend a lot of time ministering and just loving on people where they're really digging through a lot of stuff from making bad choices, and we all do it. We're all victims of that, and I use the word victim. It's kind of interesting because it's hard to be a victim of something that you do to yourself, isn't it? And oftentimes we take that mentality, but the reality is we have to make choices, and we have to either choose to do it good or we can choose to do it better. And I think there's so much of an opportunity for us to be able to do that. Let me just ask you this question. How many of you love to have just a big, thick, juicy steak? How many of you love steak? Yeah, so does that mean we got some vegetarians in the house? Yeah, let me just tell you that when the prodigal son came home, the father didn't say, "Hey, go cut down the asparagus bush." He said, "No, go kill the fatted calf." You know, so I'm just telling you, it's biblical to eat meat. Please don't send me an email, or you know, that's fine if you don't want to. But I love steak, and I remember as kind of growing up that I was always taught that you ate steak, you just got it cooked well done. You know, you got it cooked all the way through, and that you just, you know, kind of burn it and all the way through and everything else. And then I remember I took a job. My very first job was at a steakhouse, and I remember my boss coming in and saying, "Hey, you know, he made us all some steaks." And he said, "How you want your steak?" And I said, "Well done." He said, "What are you doing? What are you thinking?" You know, and I'm like, "I don't know. That's how I've always eaten it." And he said, no, let me cook it for you." And so he threw it on the grill, and he cooked it through, and he made it the most perfect medium to medium rare that I'd ever, I mean, it was just perfect. He said, "Here, eat this." And I'm like, "Man, I'm not eating that. That thing's still trying to get up off the plate. You know, it's still got blood pumping through it. I'm not eating that." He said, no, seriously, just take one bite of it, and then if you don't like it, you don't have to eat it." And so I remember cutting into it, and yeah, I mean, just stuff gooing out, and you know, and I take it, and I took a bite of it, and I began to, and it was like, "Man, this is really nice." Yeah, da-da. You know, the heavens opened up, and, you know, little angels floated down, and it was awesome. It was like the most tender thing I'd ever eaten. It was just like, wow. And so I went from eating what I thought was a good steak, and I learned how to eat a steak better. And better is always good, right? Does anybody not believe that better is just better? Anything that we go to that's better is better, and we have to figure out what that means for all of us. And so for many of us, let me just ask you this. Wouldn't you like for the second half of your year to be better than the first half? Right? I mean, just five of you. Okay. Well, the rest of you, can you just listen with me? Yeah, I see that hand back there. I see that. All right. So let's think about that. How can we have a better rest of 2016? How can we have a better 2017 than 2016? How can we have a better rest of our lives than what we've experienced to this point? That's what we're really looking into it. And the thing is I think we say we want things to be better, but the tragic thing is that most people have settled for pursuing the good life instead of looking for what is in the better life and what that really means. And sometimes that does mean that you've got to do some things differently. People are settling for that good life when God wants you to have the better life that He purposed you for and created you for. And so here's the thought that we're going to kind of frame this whole thing around, is you're going to have to let go of the good to grab hold of the better. You're going to have to let go of some good stuff to grab some better stuff. You're going to have to quit focusing in on the things that you've just felt like were good and look for what God has for you that's better. This is not going to be some you know, prosperity type message. This is not going to be some message that's going to be, you know, believe it and achieve it. It's not going to be that. There's going to be some things that we're going to talk about that are going to allow us to experience a better life based on what the Scripture teaches us, that God Himself gives us to help us be all that He created us to be. See, we've forgotten the fact that we were all created for a purpose, and that purpose was to glorify and honor God. And so the things in our life are meant to do that rather than to honor and glorify us. And we fall into that trap so often, and that often leads us to the good life, to just do the things that are good for us. But then God wants us to have the better life where we do the things that He's created us to do that allow us to experience Him in the fullest and to experience this life that He's given us in the fullest. Next week, we're going to talk about a verse, and that's what in this whole series, we're going to just look at some verses in the Bible that have the word better in them, and we're going to learn them together. So we're not just going to, this is not just Pastor Ron read you some scripture and you do what you can do with it. This is you taking some scripture and you're going to learn it and allow God to speak to you through it. And so next week we're going to focus in on one that says this: better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. Think about that. One handful that comes with tranquility versus two handfuls that come with toil. I think in our society, in our culture, we've become a two-fisted society where the more that we can have, the better it is. But I'm telling you, what's happened is, to get both hands full, we've put ourselves through a lot of stress, we've put ourselves through a lot of misery, we've put ourselves through a lot of junk to try to have both hands full. When God says, listen, you're way better off to just have one hand full with tranquility. And so next week's going to be one of those messages that you're not going to want to miss. You're going to want to be here so that you can hear that and be part of that. But today we're going to talk about what happens in having this mindset of being better. So let's start out with the memory verse for this week. And you're going to find it in Psalm 84. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to that. If you got your phone app, open it up to that, whatever you may have. If you got your YouVersion Live, you know, in events, get that open and you can track along. If you got your program that you received, on the back of that are some fill in the blanks that you can follow along with. We want to make this really easy for you to be able to learn these lessons as we go through it. So those things are there for you. So let's start. Little context to that. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 84, the psalmist writes this: how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now, if you're not a Bible scholar and you're kind of new to this whole Bible thing, when it talks about the courts there, he's talking about the presence of God. See, in the Old Testament, they had to go to a place, a temple, where the Spirit of God resided. And so the people would go there just to be in the courts, to hang out there, because they just wanted to be near the presence of God. Cool thing is that for us, though, that all changes, because those courts now follow us as we become the dwelling place and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But here's what the psalmist says as he writes that. He says, my soul even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Then we go to verse 10, and here's our memory verse. It says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, or my Lord, and my heart, or I'm sorry, lost my whole place, of my God, and then dwell in the tents of the wicked. So here's the thing. That's our memory verse. We're going to learn that together. So better is one day in your courts than 10,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Read that with me. All right, ready on the count of three. One, two, three. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Read it again. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than in the tents of the wicked, or than dwell in the tents of the wicked. See, I can't even learn it. So, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to think on this scripture. Better's 10,000 days. Better's 10,000, 100,000. Wherever. Better is one day in his courts. Better is one moment with him than all those other days somewhere else. Better is one day. And that's what we're going to focus in on today. And that's the message. Better is one day with God. Better is one day with him. The problem is, I don't think a lot of people believe that. And I got to be honest with you, there was a time where I didn't either. I thought, man, if you had to go to church and you had to hang out with Christians, man, what a boring thing to do. What a bunch of boring people. They come in, they sing the same old songs, they listen to somebody, you know, long-winded, get up and give some speech about all this stuff, and you know, they hang out together, they eat a bunch of fried chicken and mashed potatoes when they eat together, and then they come back and do it again the next week. What a boring bunch of people. They can't do anything. They can't have any fun. You know, let's just face it. You know, sin is fun. I know that sounds like heresy to some of you. You know, the preachers said sin is fun. Man, somebody's going to hear that, and you've already cut me off. You're not going to hear anything else I said. Listen, sin is fun. If you don't believe that, then just look at how much we do it. If it wasn't fun, why would we do it? That's the whole point. Satan has made sin so much fun and so interesting to us that we want to do it. But doesn't make it right. Sin may be fun, but here's the catch. It's only fun for a season. It's only fun as long as it gets us to mess up. It's only fun as long as it gets us to fall short of where God wants us to be. And then guess what? Then the mess hits the fan. Then the consequences of the fun come along. Then the reality of what it really does to us sinks in. So if you heard me say that sin is fun, make sure that you hear me say that there's stuff coming when you want to go have all that fun. That's why that's all Satan's made it interesting to us so that we go after it. But the reality is that when we fall short, there is consequences that come. And the Bible says that without Christ, the consequences of sin, the wages of that are death. It may be fun for a season, but the price that we pay is death. Maybe not physically at the moment, but certainly spiritually and certainly in the realities of our life. So we can't miss that. But the thing of it is I thought that sin was so much fun and life as a Christian would be so boring that I didn't want anything to do with that. One day with God, that's got to be terrible because I'm having so much fun on my own. But the reality was when that truth came into my life and I realized that it wasn't, things changed. See, think about a sneeze. A sneeze feels good when you do it, right? Like when you got to sneeze really bad and you finally let that sucker go, man, you feel relief for a second, don't you? But the reality of that sneeze may have been good for a moment, but it blew snot all over the place. Y'all were like, oh my gosh, where is he going today? But it's true. A sneeze may have made you feel better unless you did like I did this week, and I actually pulled a muscle in my ribs sneezing so hard. But the reality is I felt good at that moment, but there were some consequences that came along with that. It's the same with sin. And so we've got to be able to move beyond that because we weren't created to just have a good time. We were created to have a better life. And those are two completely different things. So a day with God is better. I had to come to a place of learning that a day with God is better. It's a joy unspeakable that comes along with it. Better is one day with God than a million days elsewhere. And we've got to be able to come to that realization to be able to experience the better life that we were created to do. Why is one day better with God than a thousand elsewhere? Why is it? It's because His ways are higher than our ways. His love is better than life, the Scripture teaches us. His love is better than any love that we could experience from another human being. With Christ, forgiveness of our sins come and he paid the price for it. So His forgiveness allows us to not to have to carry that wage of death, but to experience true forgiveness and a life that He wants us to have. It's a day with Him is better because He gives us a peace no matter what's going on in our lives that allows us to experience life on a whole different level than people who do it without Him. His divine calling and purpose in our life allows us to wake up with a purpose, with a reason to exist. A day with Him is better because He knew us from the moment that we were formed. When we were in our mother's womb, He knew us. And He cares about us. And He wants the absolute best for us. It's better because we have that unique calling, that unique purpose, and that unique contribution to life that we're able to all experience when we do things with Him instead of without Him. A day is better with God because we have His provision. You need to understand that as a follower of Jesus, you have everything that you need to accomplish everything that He wants you to accomplish. When we're following Him and we're spending time with Him and we're seeking the better life He has for us, then we're able to do the things that He wants us to do, things beyond what we ever thought we could do, because we understand what He's given us. So today is a good day to begin to look for something better. It's time to begin to see it from a different perspective. And so all of those things are why life is better, but well, let me make sure that you don't hear me saying one other very important thing. I am not saying that when you have all of those better things in your life because of spending time with Him, I am not saying that you won't experience difficulties. I'm not saying that you won't experience tragedy. I'm not saying you won't experience hard times that are difficult, that you're going to have to pursue Him and you're going to have to do things to get through and to get over through His power. Things are going to still be difficult. Better is still one day with Him than a thousand elsewhere, no matter what you may find yourself going through. I'd rather be in a boat with Jesus in the middle of a storm than on the shore without Him. Because He's there to walk us through those things. He's there to help us go through the difficult times, and we're able to experience a better life because He's there leading us through His way rather than us trying to find it on our own. Life can be better, and it can be better than good, and it comes through pursuing Him. So if one day is better with Him than a thousand elsewhere, how do we spend time with Him? How do we have that one day with Him? Well, here's how we do it. We live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. An ongoing, unending awareness of His presence. See, I think most of us, if I had asked you, how do you spend one day with God? You'd say, well, you know what? I take the day off. I go somewhere quiet and peaceful. I open up my Bible and I read it all day and I just pray. That'd be one way, right? We could do that. But could you do that 2 days? Could you do that 3 days? Could you do it for the rest of your life? If the better life is hanging out with Him and just reading our Bible and praying, could we do that every single day, all day long? No. Truth is, most of us wouldn't even do it for a whole day. So how can we do that? We become aware of his ongoing, unending presence in our lives. We seek him out. We recognize all day long, all the time, that God is there with us, that he's there guiding us and comforting us, that he's there convicting us, that he's there speaking to us, showing us what it is that he wants us to do, that he's there protecting us from things that we would want to, that we would get ourselves in trouble with, and he's helping us avoid those things. You know, in the Old Testament, there is no word that translates into the word spiritual. And we're like, well, how do we get that? You got to be kidding me. I mean, there's no Hebrew word that translates into that because it's all about the spiritual, right? Well, you know why that there is no word? Because, see, God, when he created everything, he is spirit. And so everything to God is spiritual. See, there was no distinction of what was and what isn't spiritual. To God, it was all spiritual. So there was no word to define it, because what would happen is we would look at one thing as spiritual and another thing as not. And the reality is as we follow God and we seek him out, we realize that everything is created for him and by him. And so in that case, it would all be spiritual. It would all be focused in on that. And so we need to understand that a day with God allows us to experience him and the better life that he wants for us. As we look around, everything allows us to experience this ongoing awareness of his presence around us. Man, look at, there's a ton of babies in the room today. I mean, how can you look at them? How can you not hear them coo or burp or whatever they may be doing, sneezing, coughing, whatever. Whatever they may do, how can you hear that and not believe there's a God who created that little being that grows up into a big being and a human who all the functionality that we have in us? How in the world can you experience that and not believe that there is a God that is present? How can you not be around, outside and you see the beauty of it? We live in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. And half the people can't say Uwari, but dang if the Uwari Mountains ain't beautiful. You know, they don't know what to call them. You know, they might call them the UW Harry Mountains or whatever. But man, they know they're beautiful. And we are fortunate to live in the place that we live and be constantly reminded about God's presence and his ability to create beautiful things out of nothing. And so we need to come to a place that we recognize him in everything that we do, an ongoing, unending awareness of who God is. You know, if we could do that for one day, guess what I think we could do? We could do it for 2 days. If we could do it for 2 days, couldn't we do it for a week? And if we could do that for a week, couldn't we do that for a month? And if we could do that for a month, couldn't we do that for a year? And if we could do that for a year, couldn't we learn to experience his ongoing, unending presence in our lives for the rest of our life? To begin to see life differently than we have? To not just settle for good, but settle for better? Paul said that to the Colossians, he said, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What if we were to look at everything we have the opportunity to do and we began to have an ongoing, unending awareness of God in our lives? You know, I don't know what you do for a living. I mean, I do know for most of them, but it doesn't matter what you do. What if you were to do whatever it is you do with that ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence in your life? Man, wouldn't things look differently? If we could do that, surely better would be a day with God than 1,000 elsewhere. If you're like me, you got good intentions, but if you're a Christian, you're gonna spend time with God, and you have all the intentions of just doing it right. It's kind of like a diet. You start out and you want to do it right, but then something comes along and gets you off track. You know, you wake up in the morning, I'm gonna pray today. And so you're laying in bed and you start praying. This happens. This is a true story. Happened to me this week. Laying in bed, God, before I even get out of bed, I'm going to pray. And so I'm laying there, I'm praying, and then I remember that there's some things that need to be done. I need to check the oil in my car. And so I get up, and I put on my clothes, and I'm going to check the oil in my car. When I get to the back door, I see that the trash needs to be taken out. So I stop, and I begin to get the trash out of the can. So when I go to get another trash bag out from under the sink, I realize there's some apples on the counter that are no good anymore, and I need to throw the apples away. But as I go to throw the apples away, I realize, you know what, I'm hungry. And so I went to the refrigerator, and I got something to eat. I still don't know how much oil my car has in it. Honestly. And we laugh about that, but you know what I'm talking about, right? God, I'm going to pray today, but as soon as we start praying, man, all kinds of shiny squirrels start running across the room in front of us, right? And we're like, oh, I got to do that. Oh, you know, whoop, whoop, you know. And before long, you hadn't prayed for anything. And you hadn't got anything accomplished. And so before then, and next thing you know, you're laying down to bed and said, you know, gosh, I should have prayed today. And you hadn't done it. That's how life goes. And so what do we do with that? If one day is better than 1,000 with God, if one day with him is better, then what do we have to do to begin to spend every day with him? How do we develop that? Well, we're going to have to, there's some habits we're going to have to put into place because it just doesn't come natural to us. And so I want to spend the rest of our time just quickly going through some habits that we need to develop. And if you'll develop them, and if I'll develop them, then I promise we'll spend more time with him and we'll be able to be more focused on this unending, ongoing awareness of who God is, and we'll be able to recognize and spend one day and understand the significance of that. And it'll be amazing how we'll grow in our relationship with him. Here's the first habit. That we need to develop the habit of constant communication with God. Constant communication with God. If we're going to have ongoing, you know, awareness, we're going to have this communication with him to realize that he's there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 17 says, be joyful always, pray continually. Pray what? Continually. If we pray continually, life will be what? Better, right? I mean, if we'll have this communication with God and focus in on this one habit, then we can have a better life. That's where we begin to things to fall apart. You know, try to pray and you know, you get distracted and things go to pieces and you just miss out on it. But what if we were to begin to just see it the way that we see a lot of things in our lives? Let me just ask you. If you have a smartphone, hold it up. Come on. Hold them up. Let me see them. If you have a smartphone, if you have a tablet, whatever. So like the majority of us have them with us. All right. So here's the question. If you have a smartphone and you take it to the bathroom with you, raise your hand. Just be honest. Just come on. Okay. All right. So I just want to tell you that that's weird, and I have counseling available this week for those of you that take your phone to the bathroom with you. No, really, I do it too. So here's the thing. We will take this even to the bathroom with us so that we can check Facebook, so that we can tweet and we can Twitter and we can do all that stuff, right? We can't even go to the bathroom without this, communicating in some way socially with the people around us. But yet we can't take moments to pray and acknowledge God in our lives? Are you feeling a little convicted at the moment? Because the moment that you realize and you lay down at night and you realize you've not even acknowledged God, you've not prayed, you've not sought him out, but yet you could tell me who all has brushed their teeth and gone to bed tonight and all the other stuff that some people put on there, then there's a problem. If you've taken time to tell people about your day, but you haven't sought the one who gave you that day, there's a problem. And so I'm going to tell you that, listen, this communicating with God continuously, if you need to do it in 140 characters or less, listen, you can do it. Just acknowledge him. You know, as you walk through life, you know, you run into people and it's, you know, God, listen, my boss, man, they're being a jerk today. And I want you to help me to be who I need to be for them. I need you to help me get through this day without losing my cool. God, that person looks like they're hurting today. Will you lift them up? Will you use me to lift them up if you need to? God, you know, I'm kind of struggling today. I'm not feeling up to par. God, would you minister to me? God, I want to be able to help somebody today. Would you give me the opportunity? God, you know, that situation over there, you know, it needs attention, and would you just lift them up? God, man, my kids got a test today. Would you bless them and give them wisdom as they take that test? God, you know, God, there's a lot of kids going home from school right now. Would you just protect them? You know, God, there's people tonight that don't have food to eat. Would you bless them, and would you help me to know how I can help them? You see how quickly you can kind of see your day, and you can see how it's a constant opportunity to pray for everyone that you come in contact with. If you become consistently in communication with God, listen, communication isn't just one person talking. Communication means that we take time to not just speak to Him, but to allow Him to speak to us. And there may be people that we need to interact with in our lives. If we're going to go from good life to better life, we got to be engaged in this communication, and we got to be able to hear what it is that He wants us to do. He's there to guide us, and He's there to help us. And so, you know, there's just times where we need to be able to, just like we would text a friend, we need to be able to speak to our Heavenly Father and acknowledge Him. I mean, if I was to ask, I bet half of you have gotten text messages since you've been here today. You know, nothing wrong with that. You know, you should text them back and ask them why they're not in church. But truth is, they're probably on this side texting. I'm just sorry. Just the reality. But we all, it's that communication's that easy for us to be able to experience a better life. And we need to be able to understand that we can have an ongoing, unending awareness of His presence. The second habit is this: instant obedience to God. Instant obedience to God. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by God's Spirit in us, if we're a believer in Jesus, we've accepted the fact that God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross, pay the price for our sins. He died on that cross, a horrible death was there for us, was taken off, buried, and on the third day raised from the dead. If we believe that and have made that, and confess that, made that part of who we are, and made that all of who we are, then let me just tell you that we have the opportunity to experience this Spirit indwelling in us and living in us. So if we live that, if we say that's what we've done, we live that, and so we should be able to live by that and by the direction of the Spirit. His Word tells us how to live out our lives. Let me just make you think about this. Have you ever read the Bible all the way through? If you're a believer in Christ, if you're consider yourself a Christian, have you ever read His Word from cover to cover? I would dare to say that probably most of us haven't. And so let me just tell you, there are plenty of ways to be able to do that. To open up a YouVersion app, go in there, it'll give you a reading plan, and you can just knock it out every day. Just make that part of your daily routine. But let me tell you that if we're going to be obedient to God, we got to know what He tells us to do. And the Bible is very clear on so many things that we miss out on in our daily lives. If we just knew it was there, we might do it, but the fact is we don't. So I want to encourage you to read your Bible so that you know His Word and you know how to then follow Him as He leads you, to understand how the Spirit works in us and should lead us so that we may follow Him and have this awareness, this ongoing, unending awareness. The third thing is this: to develop the habit of a daily desperation for God. A daily desperation for God. I think about the psalmist, as we read earlier in Psalm 84, verse 2, says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. When was the last time that your soul yearned for that sense of presence of God? When was the last time you just sought him out so much that there was a yearning and a desire to just have this closeness with God? Let me tell you, there's a lot of things I think we allow our souls to yearn for and to desire more than that presence of him in our lives. He wants to be there. He wants us to have this better life. Not just a good life. He died for an abundant life for us. And we have the opportunity to experience that. We need to be able to see the spiritual the way sometimes we just see the worldly. What if we were to, you know, we may desire a big juicy steak, but why don't we find ourselves desiring and yearning for the presence of the one who created us? Why don't we go after that with the fervor and the excitement that we go after so many other things? Some of you were cheering pretty hard Thursday night. You were desiring the Panthers to win that game. Especially if you stayed up and watched it to the end, you were desiring to see that happen. Didn't, but anyway, but you were desiring. So I know I'll probably get mine today. But the reality is as sports fans, we desire and yearn to see our teams do well. We go crazy. We buy the jerseys. We buy the clothes. We go and do all the crazy stuff. We yearn to see that happen, to be part of that community. But why is it that we have such a hard time transferring that over to the better life that God wants for us? Man, why don't we have, you know, maybe we need to print up some jerseys. You know, I'll put Pastor Ron on the back of one and I'll start selling it, you know, or something. You know, would you buy it? Yeah, no, I didn't think so. All right, so, but maybe we'll just put Jesus on it. I don't know. Whatever we got to do, but why don't we get so excited about that? Why don't we have this desire for the better when it comes to the things and the one who can make it all better? The Bible says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, I think if we would get serious about our relationship with God, just like that medium rare steak that I tried and realized how good it was, that if we would get serious and seek out this relationship with God he wants to have with us, we would taste and see that the Lord is good and he wants good stuff. He wants better stuff for us. He's better than anything else you'll ever taste and try. He will give you a desire to want to see life differently and better. David said this in Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. See, when you're in constant communication with God, and when you're able to obey him when he speaks, and when you're able to desire to see everything it is that he wants for you, and you're able to do these things, then life becomes better. And that's what we should desire as those who follow him. He wants more than just a few moments of our life. He desires to have a relationship with every single one of us. And he's there offering us something better than good. And so today, it's pretty simple. What do we choose? Do we choose good? Good's okay. Or do we choose better? Because that's what he desires for us. Begin to be aware of him. Begin to acknowledge him. Begin to have communication with him. Ongoing, consistent, just seeing him in everything around you. Begin to do the things that he wants, and I promise your life will be better. Let's pray. God, thank you so much God, you don't want to just give us good. That you desire for us to have better. And so in these moments, as we think about where our life is it good or is it better? Is it good according to the rest of my friends around me, or is it better according to you and what you desire for me and created me for? God, for some of us in the room, going from good to better is gonna require us to acknowledge who your son is. That your son Jesus came and died on the cross and paid the price for our sins. That he was taken off the cross, buried, and on the third day raised again, God, to not only pay the price for our sin, but to allow us to experience you for all eternity. That the good life doesn't come from a relationship with you, God. That when we have a relationship with you, we experience the better. And so, God, I know in this room there are people seeking so many different things. They're seeking relationships to make life better. They're seeking drugs or drinking to make things better. They're seeking sex to make things better. They're seeking jobs to make things better. They're seeking money to make things better. They're seeking all kinds of things to experience better. But God, you make it very clear that better comes from a relationship with you. And so God, whatever it is that we've been trying to fill that hole with, God, may you take our desires and change them so that we seek you out. God, may we all be able to acknowledge that we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that he's better than good, he's better. And God, today I pray that you would do whatever it is that you need to do in our lives to bring us where it is that you want us to be. God, for some, it just means we're gonna have to be real about where our life is. We have to be real about the things that are keeping us from being better. To confess some things. Maybe we need to confess it to you. Maybe we need to confess it to some others. Maybe we need to just begin to seek you more in our lives in every moment that we have an opportunity to do it. God, I pray that you'll just move freely in us today. God, we are all there. We've all experienced good. We've all sought to be good, but God, today we can all seek to be better. And so, God, may you move in our hearts and in our lives in these next few moments. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.